been good. God showed up. You know, I love that one verse in that song. The angels are envious of us because they've never experienced redemption, forgiveness, salvation. They've never experienced the Holy Spirit inside of their hearts. They've never experienced that. They've never experienced healing, physical healing, emotional healing. They just never have because they've just, God created them and they're just there. And so they're jealous of you guys. I know it's hard to imagine. They're just like, oh, I would love to feel what people feel. And so we're so fortunate. I mean, has anybody in this place, that's my loudest voice, I just did it. Has anybody in here ever experienced a physical healing? Raise your hand if you have. Isn't that something? It's like most of us have. Have anybody ever, besides me, experienced an emotional healing? Freedom from an addiction, freedom from depression, freedom from pain, freedom from sadness. Gosh, you know, have anybody ever been sad besides me? Oh, Lord, isn't that the worst thing ever? I was like, Jesus, help me. I spent most of my life never feeling sadness. And then all of a sudden I did, and I was like, oh, God, I'm going to quit whining about people that are sad because I've been there. And if it wasn't for Jesus, that's one of those things I don't think you can come out of. Matter of fact, if it's not for Jesus, we can't come out for anything. You know, I love this sermon that Daniel did and this overhead he made, because the way the kingdom is designed, it really is about relationship and results. You look at your relationship with the Lord, you look at the results, and now you know how you're doing in your relationship. You don't have to question it. If I was sad, when I was sad, it was because there was somewhere in my life where me and Jesus weren't lined up in our thinking. What he didn't, I believed a lie. Do you know the devil, he's a liar? And the father of lies, he told me that I would never be happy again the rest of my life. That I'd spend the rest of my life in one of those rubber rooms. You know, they put you in a jacket with your arms behind your back or something, right? That's what the devil told me. And then I started believing it. You talk about sad. It was sad. And so today we're going through this because what I want to talk to you about is the same thing I talked about last week, and it's going to be with us for a while. And I do. I think God has blessed me with you guys. If you're here today, and some of you, it's your first day, like Bob and I are best friends now, you know, we're good because God has a plan, and it really is about Him. There's nothing greater than Him. So we're going to talk about this Awake to Righteousness. And I want to tell you, I've been working on that for 15 years at least. And it's like I've been cooking it in my kitchen. I've been building with it. And I want to tell you, it works. It's the most powerful thing ever. And if you're stuck, if you can't get over that hill, if you've been going around the same mountain over and over and over again, this will set you free. It'll set you free. But it's so contrary to what most of us were taught our whole lives. And it's going to take a miracle. And that's what awakening is. You know, repentance is when we wake up to see something the way God sees it, and we believe Him, and we choose to believe Him. That's what real repentance is. It's the Greek word metanoia. You can study it online. You'll see, oh, it's thinking the same way God thinks. And when God opened your eyes and you see it, you can't imagine ever going back to it. It's like, it's not you do it by self-control. It's the Holy Spirit does it through the inside out. And so, Awake to Righteousness. I've been trying it. I've worked on it. I'm doing it. And it's made a big difference in my life. In my 44 years of following Jesus, I can tell you there's been nothing that's affected me more than beginning to see this revelation from Jesus. And you know what the revelation really is? There's a secret we know. Jesus is bigger than anything you think. Jesus is better than anything you can imagine. Jesus is the most kind, gentle, compassionate person I've ever met. And he never changes. And you know what? He doesn't talk about love. He is love. And we're going to talk about this. And we're going to look at it. And so I'm going to go over some things we did last week real quick. And this was that the Apostle Paul, who wrote over half the New Testament, he wrote this in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. He said, he was talking to his disciples. He said, I'm jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I've betrothed you to one husband. One husband. We're all betrothed to one husband. I heard a little girl the other day was talking to her mom. Mom, if I'm a princess, I'm married to God. Like, she was trying to figure this out in her mind. She said, Mom, if I'm Jesus' bride, I'm also his daughter. And her little mind just went, how? That's gross, Mom. No, I'm my dad's daughter. I'm not his wife. But Jesus said that we're the bride of Christ. The body of the Christ is the bride of Christ. We're also a son of God. And guys, it's so much deeper than you could ever imagine. And so Paul says this, I've betrothed you to one husband, and I may present you, and God's talking to us, Paul was talking to us, the coming ones, he said that I may present you as a chaste virgin, the only lover you've ever had, Jesus Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. The simplicity that's in Christ. It's like, oh, this sounds complicated. And Paul said it's simple. So we're going to look at that, because the truth is, this is simple. There's one Savior, one Lord, one King. You have one husband. There's one thing, there's one way to be made righteous, and that's through Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at that in closeness, and we're going to say, wait a second. You know, because you know what we get confused with? We think we have to do something. Righteousness is about what we do. No, it's not about what you do, it's about what he did. And there's only one he. Because what was happening to Paul's disciples is the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people who were promoting the law, the Jewish leaders from the Old Testament, they were saying, well, yeah, Jesus is good, but you also have to obey this, and you also have to do this, and you also have to do this. And here's how you judge whether you're righteous or not, by what you do. And I want to tell you something, guys. We were all saved by grace through faith. We didn't do anything. Someone did do something. He did it over 2,000 years ago. He laid down his life and he forgave us of our sin. And we had nothing to do with it. It's all him. It's all him. You can't ever put too much on Jesus. And so we're going to be talking about that a lot. So I'm just going to go over real quick some of the things we did last week. Religion is man-made. It's man-made. It's man's way to get to God. Who made a way for us to come to the Father? Jesus. Not us. And religion is man-made. Relationship is a free gift by grace. Jesus made it possible for you and I to have a relationship with God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Religion is also performance-based. We talked about this last week. It's like you do good, you get good. You do good, you get good. You have to do this. You got to obey the Ten Commandments. You got to obey the church standards. You got to dress right. You have to have the right earrings on. You got to all this, whatever. There's like, no. No, there is, religion is performance-based, It tells you you have to talk this way, you have to look this way. I mean, it's not religious that I dress the same way every Sunday. It's just I don't like to change clothes, and I don't even pick my clothes because I'd like it if I had a uniform. Like I tried wearing those things nurses wear, and it didn't work for me. I would wear a uniform every week. It doesn't matter what you wear. It doesn't matter what you do. And that's religion. It's based on performance. Relationship is a gift. It's grace-based. It's a free gift. Religion puts off into some unknown time in the future all the blessings of God. Religion does that. Makes them conditional. And they're somewhere. Well, God will bless you. God's going to bless you. But, you know, you've got to do this. You've got to do that. That's why I like what Harvey said about tithing, about giving, you know. It's not about law. I give. If you're not giving out of your heart, you just wasted your money. You just wasted your money. Because all God wants is our giving. It's because we love Him. We love Him. And He said, you know what the second commandment Jesus said was? First commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. The second commandment was love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see, that's why we give. And then religion, it puts it off. Relationship is now. It's now. It's, you know what God said His name was to Moses? He said, my name is I Am. You know why? I think He said that because, and in the New Testament, you see that Greek word, eimi. It's I Am, I Am. He's always with you. You'll never be alone. He'll never leave you alone. He'll never forsake you. You can't go anywhere farther than He can come get you from. No matter what you do. You see, because religion says it's not. Religion says, well, God don't like ugly. And if you sin, God ain't going to hang out with you. And we were raised that way, you know. And it's like, no, that's not. That's religion. So I want to... last week, I started out talking about creation. Guys, it's the foundation of everything. It's like God said, if you want to know that God's existing, just go and look outside. And the whole earth, everything speaks of God. So we talked of creation. And in the beginning, God created. He created everything. And you know, I told you, He created this, He created that, He created this, He created that. And after everything He created, the first 6 days, He said, it's good. It's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then He reached down and He picked up dirt and He formed man in His own image and likeness. And then He took DNA from the man and formed a woman. And when He formed man and women, when He formed us, He didn't say it's good. He said it's very good. Now the Bible doesn't mince words. If it says words, it's absolutely true. God thinks one thing about you. You're His. You're His bride. You're His son's bride. You're His son, His daughter. You're His DNA. You're His hope of glory in the future and now. That's who you are. You know what He thinks of you? No matter where you've been, no matter what the enemy says, no matter what you've done, He looks at you and He says, you're very good. You're perfectly created to fit in this slot in the world. You know, it's like those old records you used to have, you know, records that had slots in them, and they had that needle went down the groove. Listen, you're the perfect needle to fit in the groove God's created in the world for you. That's what God thinks. And so we just went over that, and it's all about love. You know, Adam and Eve, they walked with God in the cool of the day, and they were naked, or in Arkansas we said they were naked. They were. And they were unashamed. They were unashamed. They didn't judge themselves. They didn't look compared. You know, they didn't stand there and look. There was only two of them, but they didn't look at each other right then and say, hey, there's the deal going on here. No. Little Eve's like, well, you know, I've gained a little. She ate a bologna sandwich, and instead of going to her stomach, she put it right on her hips. That's how we judge ourselves. And you men, you know how men judge yourselves. I tell you, if you're over 60, and if you're over 70 and you're not taking drugs, you've lost muscle definition. I'm just saying. I know you. And some of us have lost some hair, right? that guys, but they didn't judge themselves. They did not judge themselves. They could stand fully exposed who they were, their mental capacity, their verbal capacities, their golden tongue, glick, whatever you call that when you have a blue tongue. Not a blue tongue. You know, golden tongue, that's it, golden tongue. They don't judge themselves how good they talk or how bad they talk or how tall they are, or how short they are, how much stuff they have or how much stuff they don't have. They didn't do it. They were naked and unashamed. And then the father of lies, because God put him on the earth, he came and he said, guys, you know, God would love you more. He would love you more if you would just be able to judge yourself. Just eat from this tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because if you know what's good, then you'll do what's good and God will be happy with you. And if you know what's evil, you won't do what's evil, and so God won't be unhappy with you. And Eve had this sin nature that we all have, which is different than the sin nature that you probably have in your head. In my mind, I see the sin nature as anything inside of me that wants to do things independent of God, even good things. Jesus created us to have relationship. Jesus, when he prayed in John, he said, guys, pray that you become one with each other and one with me the same way that I'm one with my Father. They were in such deep relationship that Jesus and God were never not together. They were one. And that is way beyond our little minds can understand. But that's the thing. It was just love, love, love. Love, love, love. There was just no problems. And then Eve did something. She took and Satan lied to her and told her there were some things in her that could be improved. It's there's a word for that. I'll get to that. I'm not going to say it. Here, I want to read another verse. And this is who Jesus is. In Matthew 11:28, I didn't put it on the board. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, all you who are tired, who are worn out, who've been trying and trying and trying and trying and trying and trying, and you never seem to get there. Guys, that's what that's talking about. You've been doing right, you've been doing this, and you did that, and you've done everything, and you're tired. He said, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Guys, rest is a big deal with God. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Amen. It's 100% true. And guys, a lot of our religion, there's nothing in it about rest. There's, you know what's in it? Is you got to do this to get that. You got to do this to get that. You got to not do that. You got to control yourself, and it's stressful. And you sit in this world wondering, God, am I doing enough? Am I not doing enough sin? You know, the Bible says any man that says he doesn't have sin is a liar, and the truth of God's not in him. So nobody's got to tell you sin. You know you do. I know I do. So, God, I don't get this. I'm trying to have no sin. And then we forget the truth. And so we're going to talk about that. Sin consciousness versus innocence consciousness. And I started last week. And we're going to, and as I was thinking about this, y'all know this hymn? You can sing it if you want to. I was going to make Chris do it. I should have. That's it. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's it. Oh, that we're not doing it again. That's it. What makes us righteous?
Nothing but the blood of
Jesus. That's it. Guys, so awake to righteousness. Not your righteousness, but it is your righteousness because He gave it to you. There's not a person in this room right now that's not righteous because the Son of God, His blood, made you righteous. So you need to start agreeing with Him. Agree with Him. You know, it's like the old days. I used to install DirecTV antennas. Remember those little dishes you had to put on roofs? I sold them and I installed them. And you had to, you know, the satellites up, you know, the satellite's one of these lights. And you had to point the satellite at the light to get a signal on your TV. Right? Y'all remember that? Okay, before that, I have to go outside and turn the TV antenna that had the thing up on the pole, up in the air, because we only got three channels, and you had to get that thing right, and you had to stand out there, and we didn't have cell phones, so you had to yell, you had to go outside or something. Guys, you need to line up. That's all I'm saying. You know what changed my life is when I started lining up with believing not just in my salvation, but in my righteousness that came from Him. And my life changed. I've been trying it for 25 years. And I am such a different person. I'm glad my little sister's not in here right now. I'm not glad. Like, are you listening, Dana? She's not in heaven. She's just not here today. My mom's in heaven. Yeah, she's good. But my little sister, you guys don't know. It's hard for y'all to imagine, I think. My little sister, who knows me, came to our church after 20-something years. She came, her and her husband, Gary, and they were part of Harvey Small Group. And great people. She had some issues, just like all of us. And after she came, and she was here for a while, she came to me one day, and she said, "Brother," I don't know why she calls me brother, my name's Alan. She said, "Brother, you were the meanest person I've ever known." I was like, "Well, praise God, I think, I don't know." And I was like, "You know, sister," I don't call her sister, I said, "Dana, I was. But, and I didn't change myself. I just started seeing who I was and slowly through the years started believing in the Bible. I was always a stupid, conservative, biblical person, but I guess I was reading those things and I didn't believe that was true because I was looking at what I did and what I said and blah, blah, blah. And I, you know, gosh, God, I looked at something yesterday. How can I be righteous? Well, you know what? I didn't make myself righteous. I'm believing in what Jesus did." Guys, it's like, wake up, wake up. 1 Corinthians, this is our verse for this series, and I don't know how long this series will go on. I'll scare you if I tell you what's in my head. Awake to righteousness. Guys, how can you wake up to something that's already there? Come on, use your head, use your mind. How can you wake up to something that isn't already happened? No, righteousness happened. When did Jesus make us righteous? Come on, what? 2,000 years ago, when He died on the cross, when He shed His blood for us, He saved us and He made us righteous. When He died, we died. When He rose again, we rose again with Him. It was all Jesus. It was all Jesus. You know, you're like, well, but what about? I don't care what religion says. I don't care what our logic says. I believe in Jesus. And I think His blood was powerful enough to even make some of us righteous that were so far from being righteous you couldn't imagine. Okay? So we're going to wake up. We're going on this. And you know what's funny? And do not sin. I told y'all before, when you look at that in the original language, what it says is, when you're awake to righteousness, you won't sin. The sin in your life now, it's going to begin to be cut away, cut away, cut away. And it's not because you don't want to anymore. It's not because you're not trying to please God. He changes your want to's. He changes your desire. He changes your life. I don't want to hurt people anymore. I don't want to have fun at your expense. I don't want to steal anymore. I don't want to lie anymore. I don't want to cheat anymore. I mean, unless we're playing a game, then cheating is not bad. But I don't want to because I want to win. But he changes you. Aren't you tired of trying to change yourself? Get over it. You can't. I just heard Bob told me a testimony this morning. There he is. And he's right. God delivered him from something in his life. And it wasn't something he did. It was Jesus. Guys, you know that God, that's the key to living a life with less and less sin, is waking up. And you're going to argue with me. I'll argue with myself all the time. God, I'm not the needle in the record player. Y'all, I'm using an old deal, but they had this needle that went down in this groove. And God, you're telling me I'm the perfect needle for the groove I'm in? That's hard to believe. But guess what? You're the perfect needle. You're the perfect person for the groove that you're in this world. No matter where you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, because God created the needle. Now, you know what? You can ruin a needle by dragging it around, ruin the record, but the needle's good. And me and you fight the battle because there's this deceiver that lied to Eve and said, Eve, you're not enough. And you know, all he did was plant a little doubt in her head. I never realized how powerful doubting is. Do you know that when you doubt yourself, that you're doing the same thing Eve did, and you're not believing that you are righteous, you're not believing that you're equipped, you're not believing that God made you perfect for where you are? When you doubt, when you can, and you know what Satan did, he probably pointed out things that were true about Eve. You know what he does to me? He points out things that are true. But you know what doubting is? Is when I think that that true thing controls me and controls my life. It doesn't. Because what's really true is what God said, what he did. So awake to righteousness and sin not. And he said, I speak this to your shame. You know why he's saying that? Because when you wake up to your righteousness, you won't be ashamed of your lack of intelligence. You won't be ashamed of your past. You won't be ashamed of your habits. You won't be ashamed of anything anymore. Because who you are doesn't depend upon you. It depends upon Jesus. It's like, you know, we lifted him up in praise this morning, and it's like, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I'm like, those stinking angels are jealous of us because we can praise him and they can't. Not for what we know, because I've experienced deliverance. I've experienced freedom. I've experienced shame, and the Holy Spirit took my shame away. So I'm not ashamed anymore. I mean, I'm still in process, but don't get me wrong. There's some things I still get. Last week, I couldn't say something while I was speaking because it was something I'd never told anybody, and I guess I was embarrassed. And so that's one reason I picked some hymns today. This is another hymn. Y'all can sing this with me too. This one is a little more not as well known, okay? It's an Easter song. Oh, let's do that again. Try again. Let me catch up. A victim from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He rose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Oh, my grandson's back there waving his phone. I'm like, stop it, Jacob. You're embarrassing me. Wait, I don't get embarrassed anymore. Well, I do. So get over it. That's who I am. It's part of my who I am. I get embarrassed. I turn red. My ears turn red. My ears turn red if I'm embarrassed or if I'm angry. So you better watch out. You don't know which one it is. It's just red. Yeah, you know, he did rise. And do you know that when, okay, guys, we need to start realizing this. He said he died, we died with him. He said when he rose from the dead, we rose with him. And do you know that every day when you see the sunrise, it should remind you of something. Listen, you know when we woke up? When Jesus rose from the grave. That's when we awoke to righteousness. And so every day when I see the sun and I get up, first when I open my eyes, it's usually dark because I'm old, so I wake up early. But I wake up on the beginning of a new day, and the first thought in my head, I want to wake up to this thought. Jesus, you rose, and you took me with you. So whatever I'm going to face today, God, come on, bring it. God, whatever challenge, whatever good thing, there's nothing greater than Jesus Christ. And if I'm in him, then there's nothing greater than me either. Isn't that a good thought? Don't you like that thought better than, oh, you're God, oh, protect me today. Whatever, God, let me go. Because I'm going to find, I'm kicking devil tail and taking names. And I'm going to love even though it's hard. And I'm going to triumph. And I'm going to stand up even if it's hell is broken out in my life. I'm going to stand up and say, I am ready for this hell. Bring it. It hurts. Yeah, it hurts. Bring it. Because I know someone. I know someone, guys. I know him. I know him. His name's Jesus, and he rose, and there's no greater power on earth than the power that was in his blood, and that makes me righteous. So guess what? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So are you. Now, guys, if you admit it honestly, it took me 20 years to even get to where I can say this out loud. And then as soon as I say it out loud, some people start pointing out the, oh, you're just full of pride. I'm like, I'm full of pride in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. And you know what? I hate that some people in our world don't know yet. They're still waiting for the Messiah to come. No, he has come. He's come. And he's invited us to come with him. Guys, God wants you to wake up. This sermon series, and that just make this habit. Every day when you see the S-U-N sun rise, remember the S-O-N sun rose already. And he rose, we rose. So wake up to righteousness and you won't sin. And you don't get to be proud about it. You don't get to brag about it. It's him. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. So you can argue with me if you want to. But we got verses. I got more verses because the Bible's true. And the Bible's not the truth. Jesus is the truth. The Bible speaks of him. That's what he told us. So Bible's true, but he is the truth. So 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him, God made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. And guys, religion says that doesn't happen till you get to heaven. Jesus said it's already happened. Don't wait. Begin to live today, tomorrow. God, I am your son. I'm your bride. I'm your champion. He said this, in you, Christ in you is the hope of glory. There's a song that only you can sing, right? We sang that this morning. There is a song only you can sing. Only you can sing. And Jesus gets glory when you sing your song. And it's hard. I didn't like singing those songs this morning. I don't like singing in public. Because sometimes I create new melodies, new rhythms. I'm like, I just do. And I get embarrassed because I know they're not right. da, da, da. You know what? Something is telling you you're not right. Maybe your whole life you've heard over and over again that you're not good enough. That there's just you. Wouldn't want to be you. Maybe you've heard that in your own mind forever and ever. And God is like, no, it's not true. It can't be true. Because Jesus created you in his image. He created you in his likeness. And you know what? You became the righteousness of God in Christ. And it says in Philippians 3:8, and then we'll stop here. That I may gain Christ. That's what Paul wrote to the Philippian church. And you know, Paul was amazing. So we would have thought, Paul, how can you do even more? You've already done everything. He said, I may gain Christ and be found in him, found in Jesus, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Well, is there anything wrong with the law? No, we're going to talk about that next week. Why did God give us the law? He gave us the law. He gave us the Ten Commandments. He gave Israel the law, all 613 of them. God did. So shouldn't we obey the law? Won't you be righteous if you obey the law? No, you know the problem with that is it's me obeying the law. Righteousness is a gift of God from faith. And so when I believe I'm righteous, what comes out of me is obedience to the law. It's crazy. But my motivation is my relationship with him and what he did. My motivation isn't to do good so that I'm righteous. One's law. One's a free gift. Jesus shed his blood so that, because you know what? We're going to talk about it. There's reasons. Why did he give us the law? I'm going to tell you next week. Why did he do that? You know, we've lived through this world, this battle where people want to put the Ten Commandments up in places and then other people don't want them up there. Well, listen, the Ten Commandments isn't what makes us righteous. That puts us in bondage. I'm going to show you the scriptures. The law is the power behind the bondage of the devil. What happened to Adam and Eve whenever they began to live by the law? They began to be ashamed and judge themselves. Satan took over. He took over. And he became the God, little g, of this world. Guys, there's freedom you haven't experienced yet because there's still areas in your life where you're living by the law instead of by grace. So we're going to go over it. We're going to hit it hard. That's my goal. Sin consciousness sounds right. Innocence consciousness through the blood of Jesus Christ, it's hard for us to imagine that those are actually in opposition, but they are. They are. Jesus wants you to believe that the truth about what he did. So this morning, if you've never made that journey, if you're still living in self-judgment, I mean, you know, you can tell if you're judging yourself. Every time something goes wrong, you ask, what did I do wrong? Or your logic plays that way with other people. Well, look what happened to them. They must be living for the devil. What? But, you know, Jesus had words to that. I'm not going to say it. So guys, God has a beautiful journey for you. And the end of that journey is rest. It's rest. You know, I had somebody ask me yesterday. I think it was yesterday. They're like, they had talked about how long I've been doing this. I was a bivocational pastor for 30 years, at least 30. You know, worked two jobs, blah, 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 still work. You know, I basically work 6 or 7 days a week. And I'm not tired. Well, you must be the strongest person ever. No, that person was mean as a snake. I'm resting. When I work, I rest. Well, aren't you stressed out? No. It's him. I'm not even worried about y'all getting it. It's up to him. He made you perfect to fit your place in this world and his, and to be in relationship with him. It's all about relationship. It's not about performance. When I was living by performance, I wore myself out. Now I live by relationship. Guys, God wants to invite you into a place of rest. So I'm excited about it. Are y'all excited about it? Are y'all okay with this? I mean, you know, that I want you to be blessed. I want you to be full of joy, full of the Holy Spirit, all the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, I don't want you to have sadness. That gift isn't good, but it's not a gift of the Spirit. It's not. It's a gift that comes from the enemy. Guys, Jesus has set us free. There's nothing bigger than him. Nothing. He's already defeated death. He's defeated the devil. He's already won the battle. So let's follow him and let's go on and have a party, right? Let's have fun. It's going to be good. Amen. All right, let's all stand up, if y'all don't mind, if you can. I've got to remember where I stopped. I have a pencil. I was going to say, I don't have a pencil so I can write that down. Y'all wouldn't have to do this, but you're not me. Tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. when I wake up, I'll be like, what did I do yesterday? I don't know. I don't know. I just try to follow Jesus. It's a good day, right? So we have ministry teams, Harvey, that are going to pray. Okay, so ministry teams will come up. And we believe in praying for each other. Thank you guys so much for praying for the kids and the parents. And it's just something that's so important to us. Remember what Shelby announced. There's a, what's it called? Bible journaling. I couldn't think of the word journaling. Ladies only Bible journey. Yeah. And I just heard somebody has paid for 20 people's way to go to that. So you can. Good. I mean, yeah, collect more if you want to. Oh, you can give the money to the lady, right? Yeah, that's cool. Okay. So good. So this morning, let's pray. And guys, we'd love to pray with you. Anything in your life, there's nothing bigger than Jesus. So God, I thank you for today, for putting this in my heart, God, that you don't want us to focus on sin. You want us to focus on what Jesus did. That's freedom. That's joy. It's life. There's no condemnation. There's no guilt. There's no shame because of Jesus. And God, I ask today that you'd begin to set us free. God, we'd just like to put a line in the sand and step over that line, God, and step into your righteousness. So God, I just thank you for what you're doing today. Thank you for what just protecting people this week, for providing jobs, giving opportunity. God, we just pray that you would have mercy on the people that are still struggling physically right now, and our friends and our family. God, people that are struggling with the emotional things right now, with relationship problems, God, we pray for them that they would discover freedom, that they'd discover you in that area. So we just thank you, King. Amen. All right. Thank you. God bless you guys.